Money FM 89.3, Best of Breakfast. The Bigger Picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Today on The Bigger Picture, we are looking ahead for the week for investors. So the debt ceiling has been averted, a surprising US jobs report has come in, the S&P 500 has broken the 4,200 level where we have been stuck at for the last 6 months. So now what? We also look at what's happening in Asia and what's going on down under as Australia hits into the winter season. I'm Sean Cheong, and on the line with me is Matt Taylor, Senior Director of FTI Consulting. Hello, Matt.
Morning, Sean.
Morning. So the US markets, they had another good week and Friday was strong after the US jobs report. What's the story here?
It was a strong performance for markets on Friday. We did see a rally stateside after those strong jobs numbers, and it's really flowing through to the start of the week here in Asia with the major markets all performing well. In around about the first 30 minutes of trade or so, we're seeing gains for the markets that are open in the order of about 1% or so. We did have the Dow surging by about 2% on Friday, up by more than 700 points, and this was after the strong jobs report, the catalyst there for that market bounce that we saw. The economy creating 339,000 jobs in the month of May, which was well above the expectations there for a gain of about 190,000 in the month. The jobless rate, though, did rise to 3.7% in the month from 3.5%. We saw participation unchanged, but yet again, another strong jobs report really showing the resilience of the U.S. economy and the tight labor market there. For the week, we did have the markets all in positive territory as well. We have the Dow up by about 2% for the week, the S&P 500 1.8%, and the NASDAQ up by about 2%. And it was the sixth straight week of gains for the NASDAQ, which puts that index in position for its best winning streak since before the pandemic, if you can think back that far ago, back to 2020. So our markets there putting in a strong showing and setting us up for a positive day here in Asia.
So what could this mean about the rate hikes? Does it mean like a pause or?
Yeah, well, we'll have to find out next week when the Federal Reserve, of course, holds its next meeting. Of course, inflation still remains outside of the comfort zone when it comes to the band that the Federal Reserve would like to keep it in. Another strong jobs report, though, is likely to tip the balance in favor of potential rate hikes in the United States. So we'll have to wait and see when the Fed meets. But, you know, strong data and the fact that we are not necessarily seeing these signals that would suggest a recession, suggesting that perhaps the central bank in the United States will have to continue to, you know, strengthen monetary policy, tighten monetary policy to try and get a grip on inflation, which though is coming down, but perhaps not as fast as the central bank and others would have liked.
Right. So it sounds like a bit of a soft landing, if anything.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So the debt crisis, the debt ceiling crisis has been averted. Of course, that deal has been made and it seemed to be already priced in. If you look at the last couple of weeks, if you look at the VIX, which has consistently been low throughout that 2 weeks, it's now about $14, by the way. So now that the debt ceiling crisis is out of the way, and as the stock markets look forward with no major earnings report coming up, no major earnings season coming up, what are we looking forward to next? So what could lift the market over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's interesting because the week ahead is particularly quiet when it comes to the release of economic data earnings, as you point out. Of course, we did have that debt ceiling deal done over the course of last week with President Biden signing that bill over the weekend. So the U.S. did avoid an historic, what would have been an historic default. There was, of course, opposition to the bill with some Republicans saying that the spending cuts to get the deal across the line didn't go far enough, while some Democrats disagree with some of those spending cuts. But the week ahead really will be wait and see mode. We, of course, have the Federal Reserve coming up in the next week or so as well. But interestingly, it might be factors perhaps outside of the United States that influence the direction of markets this week. And you were mentioning this in the headlines with that news that we got around OPEC overnight.
Yeah, so what's the story about OPEC? I think production cuts have been announced, right? So could you walk us through that story and what are the implications for us?
Right. So we had this meeting in Vienna over the weekend, overnight. We got the details out of the meeting. OPEC Plus, of course, includes some of the other member states, including Russia in there. They decided to stay the course and not announce fresh sweeping production cuts, saying that they'll limit output to about 40.46 million barrels a day. Previously, OPEC had announced a 2 million barrel per day cut. But we did get some cuts around the periphery. Saudi Arabia, which is, of course, vitally important when it comes to oil production, and, of course, the OPEC group as well, announcing additional voluntary cuts of about 1 million barrels per day starting in July. As you rightly pointed out, OPEC making this decision, and it's influencing oil prices, trading up by around about 2% this morning. The last check, it had come off the highs a little bit, but WTI is still sitting above $73 a barrel. This all plays into that inflation story as well. If we see production cuts that then push oil prices higher, that's going to feed through into the real economy, because oil, fuel prices, you know, go into everything along the supply chain, transportation, cost of goods, etc. So it could have implications for the inflationary picture globally and in the United States if we have higher oil prices.
And what else will be going on in Asia this week?
We've actually got a fairly busy week when it comes to the economic calendar across the Asia Pacific. We will be watching a key interest rate decision out of Australia. There is the possibility we could see another 25 basis point hike. Remember, the Reserve Bank moved in recent months as well. So there is some suggestion out there that we could see a pause this month. But there is a real possibility that rates will move higher again, taking the cash rate in Australia up to 4%. Last week, we saw monthly inflation figures in Australia on the rise yet again. We had seen a bit of a moderation and tapering off in inflation, but monthly numbers that came out showed that inflation rose to 6.8% in the month of April, which was ahead of expectations for the number to be closer to 6% rather than 7%. Also last week in Australia, we got news out that the minimum wage in Australia will be lifted by almost 6% from the start of the new financial year, which is the 1st of July, which could also, again, add to the inflation story there. We've also got Q1 GDP numbers due out in Australia, of course, backward-looking, but they're due out in the middle of the week, and expected to show economic growth in Australia came in at about 2.5% on a year ago. Elsewhere in the region, some numbers on inflation from both the Philippines and Indonesia. We're expecting to see a bit of a stark difference here. Inflation in the Philippines could fall, but it could fall to 7.5%, whereas in Indonesia, it may rise to just shy of about 3%. And on Friday, we'll get a sense of whether inflationary pressures are biting in China with the release of both consumer price and producer price figures in China. But a benign reading is expected there.
Wow, it sounds like a very busy week. And on that note of Australia, Australia is starting the winter season, and it's starting the winter season with the Aussie dollar that's testing year-to-date lows. In fact, it seems to be unable to turn the corner. It cannot seem to break out of the support line. So how concerning is this as Australia heads into the winter season?
Yeah, it's really been stuck in a range. I know as an Australian, I've been watching it closely to see where the Australian dollar has been going, but really hovering around that 65 US cent level. I guess it depends on what the Reserve Bank does and says at its decision tomorrow. If we do get another rate hike, that could support the Australian dollar in the short term. But really, because the United States continues to raise interest rates in lockstep, or Australia continues to raise interest rates in lockstep with the United States, that interest rate differential continues to remain, and that influences the trade in the Australian dollar. So if we see action out of the Reserve Bank, that could prove to be positive, perhaps in the short to medium term, for the Australian dollar. Weaker Australian dollar isn't necessarily a bad thing for Australia. It does, of course, make a number of Australia's exports more attractive to overseas consumers when you do have an Australian dollar weaker. And for the longest time, whenever you would speak to officials in Australia, whether or not they're members from the Reserve Bank or the government, whilst they wouldn't necessarily put a number on where they saw, you know, fair value of the Australian dollar, it was generally around that 70 US cent level. So trading perhaps just a little bit below that perhaps could provide a little bit of stimulus to the Australian economy, because it does make exports more attractive.
Okay, that's very interesting. Thank you, Matt. That's all the time we have today. You know, have a good week, yeah?
Thank you very much, you too.
All right, that's Matt Taylor, Senior Director of FTI Consulting, and this is Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg
or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.